This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
On the 10th of May, just a little while ago, the following event happened. An 11-year-old girl named Salia was admitted to our orphanage in Bedratchalem. Praise God. Salia is suffering with some mental problems, and she really needs your prayers. We've had other people admitted to the orphanage with mental problems, and I think I've shared before one girl in particular who was just completely bound spiritually, mentally. When I saw her a year later, she was just a handmaiden of God serving in the orphanage and doing incredible things. And so it is with Salia. We're really praying that she will be touched by God as well. Her mother is a prostitute. But not just an ordinary prostitute, she's a temple prostitute. And as a temple prostitute, Salia was going to be drawn into that occupation as well. I know some of you think that perhaps, you know, this is 2013, that these things don't go on. But they do indeed. It's very rife in India and other places in the world as well. And Ann Paul's team had gone to the area where that temple was and began witnessing to a group of people called the Jogini. The Jogini are not a people group. That's what they call themselves. And they are the keepers of the temple prostitutes. And it's their job to maintain that whole process, that it continues on and that it flourishes within certain temples. It's really disgusting. I don't know where it comes from. I believe, you know, we read about it in the Old Testament as well, that's mentioned there. They also do animal sacrifice in some of these temples as well. That, we know, is Old Testament. In fact, one day where Konya and I were staying in a town just a little bit up the road was a temple which does animal sacrifice, but they also have sacrificed children as well. So it's a real victory when these Jogini people, some of them receive Jesus. Hallelujah. And the first thing they did upon receiving their salvation was they kidnapped this girl, Salia, and took her to Bedratchalem so that she wouldn't fall victim to the same situation that her mother's in. And so Salia is in Bedratchalem orphanage right now. Praise God. So please pray for her. Please pray for her. So emotional this morning. That's the presence of God in the house. Hallelujah. I didn't want to stop drumming. That's unusual for me. It takes a certain amount of zeal to go and proclaim the gospel where people really don't want to hear it. They don't want to be changed. They don't want to have anything to do with that. They want to continue on in their sinful lifestyle. And when I read that story from Ann Paul, it took me back to the time in Book of Numbers, I think around chapter 25. Remember, you'll know the story where the Israelite people were being seduced by Moabite women, and you know that story. And the men were taking on the Moabite customs and beginning to worship the Moabite god. And Moses was there, and there was a plague that was coming upon the people, and the whole thing was just deteriorating very, very badly. Until a guy called Phinehas. Moses was there talking to the people, and right before their very eyes, an Israelite man took a Moabite woman. And Phinehas was so disgusted with what was going on that he took a spear and he speared the man and the woman at the same time. And God said, "Because of your zeal, Phinehas, that I will lift the curse off your people." And God said that he will be honored amongst the people, that God is zealous that he be honored amongst the people. God has a zeal that his name is lifted up amongst people. You know, it's an incredibly powerful thing when you get hold of that, that as a group of people that have been called by God, that we have a responsibility to honor God. And sometimes we have to honor God with a zeal that will take us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to honour God with a zeal that is something that we would not normally do. But God requires it. And as a result of that, this plague was lifted off the people of Israel. You know, I was reading about another guy in the Bible too. This is a completely different sort of story. We all know this, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. We know him. Now, he was another man that really displayed a zeal to know Jesus. You know, Jesus was coming into the town, and Zacchaeus had heard about the stories and heard about the wonderful things that Jesus was doing, and he desired to go and to meet with Jesus. But there was such a crowd of people around Jesus, and Zacchaeus was only a short man. He was a rich man, but he was only a short man. And so he had to run on his little legs to get past the crowd, but not only get past the crowd, but then to climb a tree so that he could be there to see Jesus when Jesus passed by. And when he did that, Jesus immediately saw him sitting in that sycamore tree and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today." Hallelujah. And the people weren't terribly happy about that because they didn't like that guy very much, being a tax collector. But when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, you know what happened there? Salvation visited the whole household. Praise God. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of zeal, a little bit of passion to get the visitation of God upon our household. And if you, in case you haven't noticed this morning, I want to talk about zeal a little bit. We don't hear that word very much these days. Zeal's a bit of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? What we do hear is the word passion. Anyone heard the word passion recently? We hear that a lot. Even one, a guy that supplies some glass to me, I was having a chat with him when he came to bring some glass, and he was just saying, "Oh, Tim, I just have lost the passion for glass." You know, I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. It's a job, it pays your wage. You know, you can maybe drum up a little bit of passion about something like that. But when we see on those reality TV shows, everybody's talking about passion. You know, they have a passion for cooking, and they have a passion for singing, and some have a passion for building. And, you know, I don't know how you get a passion for frying, but people have that. I just, beyond me. I think what they really mean is they have a zeal for those sorts of things. Because the word passion, I looked it up in the dictionary, it says a strong and barely controlled emotion. Huh? Oh, you like that, June? It's a state of outburst of such emotion. It's an intense desire or enthusiasm for something or someone. That's passion. You know, it's an intense and emotional thing. And people claim that they have a passion when really I think it's a zeal. Zeal is an enthusiastic devotion to a cause, an ideal or a goal. Who's enthusiastically devoted to a cause this morning? It's a tireless diligence. It is a tireless diligence in the furtherance of that ideal or goal. It's having energy for the pursuit of a cause or an objective. That's zeal, the zeal of God. Christ is known for his passion. In fact, the time of his death is called the Passion of Christ. He was passionate about what he was doing. He was emotionally invested in the job of dying for us. He had passion for that because in doing so, he was birthing the church. He had a passion that all people everywhere would know that Jesus has died for them, that their sins have been forgiven. But in his passion, he had a desire to birth a church. Now, a church is the people that have responded to the passion of Christ. Hallelujah. So there is a passion and there is a zeal. His passion created the church because he is jealous that God would have a house where his name is honoured. Hallelujah. And you think you're just sitting here singing songs this morning. You're part of the passion of Christ. You're part of the zeal of God. You're part of what God is doing in this age, in this day. Many examples of passion in the Bible. John 2:17, you know that story where Jesus came in and he cleared the temple. You know, he was distraught that there were money changers and there were people selling and buying in the house of God, and he actually cleared the temple out because he has such a zeal for his house. Praise God. Passion is emotional. Zeal is practical. Okay? Both are biblical concepts. Both you can find in the Bible. Christ's suffering death is his passion. He did it for all people everywhere. Those who receive the truth of his passion are added to the church. His passion created the church, and he is zealous for his house this morning. Hallelujah. We read in the scriptures that, I'll look some of these up actually. Paul exhorts the Corinthians to have zeal to build the church. Can we just go to the book of 1 Corinthians, please, if you've got your Bibles there or electronic devices? I've got both. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. I can't give up the Bible. You know, I've got the electronic version and all of that, but I just, it's there. It's good to travel with. Hallelujah. Ah, I beg your pardon. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. So then each one of us will have to give an account of himself before God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. And so it goes on down to verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And oh, I'm reading from Romans. My goodness me. Maybe I better go back to the electronic device. Sorry? Yeah, no, not Romans, June. Yeah, I did. Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians, you're right, 14 verse 12. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. That's a lot more relevant. Try to excel yourselves in gifts that build up the church. That word excel is the same word for zeal. Have a zeal for gifts that will build the church. Now, it's interesting because we're talking about how Jesus has a zeal for his church. And now we read that he entrusts us with gifts of the Holy Ghost that are also for that same purpose, that they will build the church. Have a zeal for the gifts that will build the church. Go across with me to Titus. I can't get that wrong. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. And come down to verse 2. I'm going to start at verse 11. For the chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Having a zeal to do what is good. Having a zeal to be Christians in this world today. Who's got that zeal this morning? How many feel like they have a zeal to really invest themselves? We heard that word today. You know, Abraham, I love that man dearly. I love the fact that he went through such a journey in his life. You know, he went to places like with Lot and he lost things and he gained things and all of those amazing events that surrounded his life, and yet he never lost sight of the goal. He saw the city on a hill whose architect and builder was God. He saw that. He never lost sight of that. He saw the end from the beginning, and he wasn't swayed to the left or to the right or by the circumstances of his life. He displayed a zeal of God. He displayed a zeal for that city on a hill. He displayed a zeal for that house. And through his seed, all of mankind has the opportunity to reach that same city to find salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Be eager to do what is good in building the house of the Lord this morning, church. Zeal will lead us into a place of peace. Zeal will bring salvation to your household. What I find today is that sometimes we confuse passion with zeal. I read and this is not a criticism, it was an observation, but I read a vision statement of a particular church that mentioned the word passion, 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 passion. Everything had to be passionate. Everything had to be of an emotional, responsive type way. But what we read in Titus is that we should be self-controlled people, yet have a zeal. Now, there's no problem if your emotions flow over. I would love to see that in worship. I would love to see that in our witnessing. Sometimes just the intenseness of emotion can be a wonderful tool in God's hands. But so much more important is this gift of zeal. If we can take hold of a zeal for God and just have that purpose that we want to honour his name with our lives, that God can visit us. Zeal may take us out of our status quo. Might take you to India, you never know. Zeal may cause us to do things that don't come naturally. Running and climbing when you've got short little legs. Doesn't come naturally to Zacchaeus, but he had a zeal to see Jesus. It took him out of his comfort zone. He was a rich man. He was used to maybe servants and comfort around about him. And if he wanted anything, he had people to do it for him. But when Jesus came on the scene, that all changed. Nobody could do Jesus for him. That was up to him. That was an individual choice. He had to change the way he did his life. And if that meant running, this little man, I just had this picture. Zacchaeus, if you're in heaven, I apologize. But I have this picture of this little man running past the crowd as hard as he can go. And then doing that enormous event of having to climb a tree. I used to climb trees. It's not easy. You know, some trees, the branches are a long way apart. And if you've got little legs, it's even more difficult. But something drove this man. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the miracles. He heard about how Jesus can change lives. He heard about how Jesus can heal. We sang it today. He can give sight to the blind. He can restore that girl in Bedrachalam. He can liberate men who are involved in disgusting habits. And it came about because someone had the zeal to go and to tell them what Jesus had done. And those men, those Jagini, they ran to find him. They dropped everything to go and find him. And in their zeal, the first thing that came to was, let's deliver this girl from out of those hands. Praise God. It's the zeal of God. Phineas saved a nation because he dared challenge the status quo. He dared challenge what was going on all around him, all of that sexual immorality with the Moabite women and that worship of Moabite gods. He took a stand for righteousness. And with one act, just one act, with one spear, he delivered his nation. Just one thing. The Bible's full of people that have been raised up just to do one thing. Our favourite, who's the guy in the lentil patch? I've forgotten his name. Anyway, he defended a lentil patch. Just a lentil patch. What good's a lentil patch? Why would you defend that? Why didn't you defend a castle or something important? But he stood his ground in that lentil patch and he delivered it. Who knows what happened? Maybe he fed people from that patch. Maybe he fed the people of God. Maybe whatever he did is not recorded in the Bible, but must have been of some enormous significance to God. This one act, hallelujah, it's really amazing. I can't remember his name. He's a real hero of mine. I'll put it down to my age, praise God. King David in Psalm 69. You know, if you read that psalm, it's a litany of woes. He's in a place where just every conceivable bad thing is going on around his life. Worse than any of us will probably experience. King David, Read that psalm. That's your homework this week. Read Psalm 69. You get thoroughly depressed by it. But right in the middle of that psalm, he turns to God and he says, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." The zeal for the house of God consumed David. And so in the midst of all of his troubles and woes, you know what delivered him? Zeal for the house of God. And I believe that the church needs to get back to zeal in these days. We need to get back to a zealous desire to honor the name of God. Hallelujah. We heard those prophetic words today. We need to return to that place where zeal is a motivating force for us that will allow us to come out of our status quo and build this house. Hallelujah. And build this house, no matter what that might mean. And it will mean different things to different one of us. For some, it might be bringing hot water into the men's toilets. Oh, how would you like zeal for that? For some of us, it might be witnessing. I'm being facetious, but you understand where I'm going from. We have different tasks. It may be just one big thing that you do in your life that is empowered by zeal, but God is calling you to it because God wants to establish his house. And he wants to be his house as a place for all nations, all people, a place of deliverance and a place of healing. And it doesn't just happen because God is God. It happens because people get zealous that God is God. My goodness me, if you turn on the television last week and you see what's going on in the Middle East and you see the passion of those people and how misguided and how misplaced and how completely mixed up that passion is. And the only thing that is going to bring recovery is people of God that have zeal to go into those nations. You know, the most sensible word that I heard all week regarding the situation in Israel came from a Coptic Christian who are fighting for their lives right now as a backlash against Christianity in that nation. And, you know, I think I shared with you many years ago, the fastest growing church in the world today is the Coptic Christian Church in Cairo. Over 18,000 believers. And they might be traditional and wear robes and all the rest of it, but you know what? They're spirit-filled. God is moving in that land. Because there's a people that have a zeal for the honor of God. And it's going to take a zeal for us to change this world and to change our homes and to change our city around us in Mombok. Take us out of our status quo. Hallelujah. Take us out of our status quo. We're all in it at times. We're all busy. We all have all of those things going on. But the zeal of God needs to take hold of us. It needs to consume us in whatever way God would purpose to do in our lives, in your life. It's not that we have to put on airs and graces and suddenly get all, you know, active in the flesh or anything like that. It's not through works and all of that sort of thing. It's got nothing to do with it. It's something that takes hold of your heart. That you start to look upon the house of God, you know, it's a building, it's also people. But we start to really invest our lives in the house of God, whether it's the building, whether it's people, it's investing in the ministries of the house of God. It's investing in building decks and kitchens in the house of God. It's investing in those that are going to places, those that are visiting and doing different kinds of ministries. It's investing in people that are delivering hampers and all the rest of it, all the ministries of the house, and they need zeal. You know, I'm tired of hearing from people that tell me, oh, in our church, 10% of people do all the work and 90% of people do nothing. How many have heard that? Let's make a stand. Sorry. Why don't we become a 90-10 church where 90% of people are doing everything and 10% are doing nothing? Hallelujah. Well, it's a turnaround. I want us to stand to our feet and I want us to sing a song. I'm trying to be passionate this morning. I'm trying to invest some of my emotional baggage on you today because I want to see a spirit of zeal overtake this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.